This is Pierre Bouvier, lead singer of the band Simple Plan. I could sing a song for you, Wine 30, with Andrew and Lindsay. Here we go. Andrew and Lindsay hosting Wine 30. Andrew and Lindsay. Through all the best and many more years to come tonight. I'm just a kid. Many more years to come. Peace.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Wine 30, which today I feel like we should be calling this Cider 30.
Cider 30.
Because we are drinking some Golden State ciders. These are the Mellow Greens, and this is from Sonoma County, California. They are known for like really dry ciders, which is right up my alley.
Yeah, these are pretty good. We like a nice cider every now and then.
So these are made with 100% fresh pressed West Coast apples with champagne yeast and Columbus Hope. Or hops. You can tell I've had a sip or two already.
So in a way, with champagne yeast, you're kind of getting like a, you know,
a wine taste. Honestly, these Golden State ciders almost have like a Sauv Blanc feel to them.
Do they?
Like, especially this because of the mellow green. It's very earthy, kind of like a more earthy Sauv Blanc.
Okay.
Very aromatic, ripe, and earthy is what it says on.
Very cool.
You know. So what would you consume this with?
Burgers.
You're like anything. Cider is good with anything.
Yeah.
Andrew just had like a cheese plate, like a mini cheese plate, not like a full.
Lindsay's really jealous.
Full thing. But he had like pickle and cheese and some like sweet potato crackers and stuff. I feel like this probably goes really well with that little cheese plate.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not eating it at this moment.
No, but I'm like jealous because I feel like when we finish this, I'll have to like make some just so I can have them together.
Okay.
Andrew's not impressed. So today we are doing listener questions.
We are.
So I know people really enjoy these. I actually really enjoy answering questions as well.
I started a new book, if you want to hear about that.
I do.
It's Machiavelli.
Nice.
The Prince.
Sweet.
It's I haven't read it but yet, so this is my first time. It kind of has like a very like brief feeling to it. Like if you were to like give a briefing to the president, you know, because it's called The Prince because it's supposed to tell the prince like what basically how they should act in certain situations and like different ways to govern. And when you take over a state, like how do you keep the population from rising up and trying to kill the barons of the land? So it's got like an interesting feel to it. The translator leaves a lot of stuff up for interpretation. I think I like it. It does have like an old feel to it.
Which is like, I feel like sometimes really cool, but sometimes it's like harder to connect to.
Yeah. I feel like sometimes I catch myself like drifting off while I'm reading it. I'm like I'm trying to pay attention here, but like, I feel like this guy sometimes, I mean, you have to sometimes I just think about like putting myself in his shoes. So he was like an advisor.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it would be really like scary to send a prince who like you work for, or like you're supposed to be teaching anything like this, because if the prince like takes it the wrong way, like think about Kim Jong-un, like if he were to receive something like this, he might just kill you or like, you know, torture you or something. So like, it's kind of bold a little bit because you're like telling the prince how to do his job,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I'm sure there's princes out there that would take offense to that. So I think he went about it in a good way so far.
Nice.
It's a relatively short book, honestly.
Which is good for that type of book. It's almost nicer if it's like short and sweet, but like, because sometimes they'll make books like that are like 700 pages.
I think this one's just less than 200 pages.
That's so nice.
Yeah, it's nice.
So I'm going to start off with a couple of questions I have for you.
Oh, yeah. I have a question for you, too.
Okay. Well, my first one is, we were talking last week about the show The Hustler, where like there's the person that's the hustler and there's a bunch of facts and they have to get everyone else to agree on the right answer. They know the right answer, but they're all of these like trivia questions are based loosely on facts about the hustler. So if you were on the hustler, what would you use as like your fun, interesting facts about yourself?
I don't know. I have to think on that. What would you use?
You wouldn't like mention that you like host a bachelor podcast or something to throw people off.
Yeah, I'd probably mention that.
Just because people would be like, well, that guy's not hosting a bachelor podcast. Yeah. Because I feel like that would be something that they would obviously be looking directly to the women like, oh, it's probably you.
Yeah.
I mean, for you, that would work. I feel like if I said I hosted a bachelor podcast, everyone would be like, yeah, of course you host a bachelor podcast.
Right.
I'm trying to think of what else. I mean, obviously the fact that I worked at a library is probably a fact that they would want to use.
Yeah.
And then actually, no, I wouldn't want them to use that fact, because that's what I would lie and say my occupation was, is that I still worked at a library, because that would be a very easy job to be like, oh, I work at a library, I know lots of facts.
Yeah.
So
I feel like I would like try to figure out some accomplishments. I really want to climb a mountain, so maybe I'd do that before I'd go on the hustler, and I'd be like,
but then you'd look like someone that would climb a mountain though. So
okay.
You want them to be like, you could be like, oh, like this person was a principal dancer in the Napa Valley Ballet. Like that's something that people wouldn't automatically guess.
That's true.
Right.
I know. Maybe I'll just let you make all my facts.
I'll just sign him up with a bunch of facts.
I'm going to sign you up with a bunch of facts. You sign me up with a bunch of facts.
And we'll see if either of us go on the show and make a lot of money.
Or we probably won't make any money. They might not even have us as a hustler. They would probably
honestly
have us as like a...
If I was on there, I would be like the worst hustler, because I feel like I would just be smiling the whole time. Because like every clue, like you almost want it to seem like it is you. Like, because I'd be like, if it was me, I wouldn't be this obvious about the fact that it was me.
Right.
Like,
you have a whole strategy.
That's how I would play it.
Honestly, I'd never really think of myself as someone that would go on a show like that. But I could be like, I won an all natural bodybuilding competition. And I feel like it can't be me. That's just too obvious.
Except you're not like big anymore. Like, you're not like super... like scary muscular. So yeah. It's kind of like that girl that we saw in there that like did a 600 pound leg press.
Yeah. That was one of her things. And then she was like an NFL coach.
She was the first female NFL coach, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was pretty crazy. Okay. So then my second question for you is, I know that we mentioned crypto in some previous podcasts, and then some people have been sending me like different types of crypto to look into on social media, one of which was steampunk hamsters. But I was wondering, like, what have you been investing in? If you want to share.
I've just been investing in different altcoins. Although I kind of like regret it a little bit, because I see how like much Bitcoin and ETH coin have gone up, you know, in the last couple of weeks. So I'm like, man, I kind of missed out on that surge. But they're kind of dropping now. So it's like,
which you do have some ETH anyway, but
yeah. And I'm the type of investor that's like, I'm going to be in for a long time, you know? So like, I'm looking for those types of opportunities in, the crypto world, instead of just like, day trader opportunities. Like, I'm more like the type of person to be like, I'm just going to leave this here for like many, many years. You know,
like, let's look at this in 10 years and see what it is.
Well, like not 10, but like, you know, in a year. And then, you know, if I like what it's doing, maybe 5 years, you know, but I'm not likely to invest without doing a lot of research. So I have invested in some Kishu coin.
Kishu Inu.
But not like, I think it's a meme coin, so I didn't invest like a ton of
cash.
Or it's
an influencer coin, right?
It's a meme coin. That's what they call them. Yeah. Like Doge, Shiba Inu.
I do have some Shiba Inu coin. because I had some free cash on Coinbase and I turned it into Shiba Inu coin because we have a Shiba Inu and I thought it was cute.
Yeah. So, and Kishu Inu is not on any of the major platforms yet. So I was like, oh, that would be a great coin to just like sit on for a few years. Maybe it never will come to fruition, but it's such a cheap coin. I have like, you know, 6 trillion of them. So
yeah,
That's how cheap they are.
The steampunk hamsters that we were sent to our social media were actually kind of cool because they're on pre-order right now and they're NFTs. And it almost reminds me of like Axie Infinity. If you like got in on Axie Infinity before it was open to the public.
Yeah. So here's my take on like NFTs. There's a lot of NFTs are kind of scary because it is a non-fungible token. So it is like owning a, it's like owning a concert ticket, right? Like there's no other concert ticket like your concert ticket. That's why when they scan it, like it shows you are the owner of that ticket, right? So that's what non-fungible tokens kind of are. And the issue with non-fungible tokens is that they aren't really worth anything, right? Like, but people will inflate the price
of their own. Or they'll put a worth on it.
Right, like they'll inflate their own coin or whatever, their NFT. It's basically a coin with a particular code, right? Like it has like a code that can't be replicated.
Yeah.
So with that being said, it's like there are some really cool things you can do with that, right? Like, because if you have a certificate, for instance, of your home, like it says you own it, right? And it has all the data, it's like a lock, right? Then that can be a very good thing to have as proof, right? Mm-hmm. Or like if you are selling tickets for a concert and you want to have everyone buy NFT tickets, one, it's super cheap to make them, like they're free basically. And two, they can't be replicated, right? And you can also make it so that you can see if they're sold. So like if someone's trying to just sell it for a higher price, you can stop that from happening with NFTs. So it's kind of a pretty cool thing. Whereas like if you sell a ticket at a concert, somebody can just scalp them, right? They can just like sell them anonymously. Whereas like you're not going to be able to do that with NFTs because there's a trail, right? Like it's connected to your wallet, which is connected to, you know, Coinbase, which is connected to your bank. Mm-hmm. So like it's very easy to see who and who's buying it and who's selling it. And what happens right now with NFTs is like you have a something that doesn't cost anything, but they sell it to their own account or sell it to a friend's account and they inflate the and they buy it back and they inflate the price.
And they'll to be make like, look, like this is worth 50 grand.
Right. And they only need one person to buy in because then that person bought it and now they've validified their art in a way, which like if you're going to do it with like something that actually is art. Don't try not to do like that pixelated stuff, even though I keep hearing them go for like 11 million. And I'm like, it's an algorithmic generated piece of art, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, I guess we place our own worth on them. I'm like tax write-off, right? Like if you buy a useless thing and you could sell it for nothing, I guess you can get a tax write-off or whatever. I don't know.
Okay. I have a would you rather for you.
Would you rather?
Would you rather give up Wi-Fi or give up driving?
I would much rather give up driving.
Oh, me too. I hate driving.
Yeah, because I would be like, I would take public transit in a heartbeat if
we lived somewhere with public transit.
Like I would just live somewhere with public transit.
Or like bike, if you lived in a town where you could bike.
Yeah, like, I would definitely give up driving. If I could go a day without driving, I would. I mean, I can't go days.
We go days, but we normally can't go like over a week without driving anywhere.
Yeah, we have to go drive to get food right now, which is unfortunate. But maybe we'll get into a place where we'll sell our vehicles and get something really eco-friendly.
That'd be nice. Okay. So I obviously agree. Like giving up Wi-Fi would be very difficult, especially with our job.
I love Wi-Fi.
I love Wi-Fi too. And it's so much better than having to use like mobile data all the time on your phone.
Well, that like, technically counts as Wi-Fi, right? Or
I mean, I don't know.
I guess you didn't say internet, so that's a loophole.
I mean, I'd be like, well, fiber is not Wi-Fi, right? So we can give up Wi-Fi and get fiber. No, that would be silly. People asked how different raising Somi is and if Shibas are more difficult than Rhodesians.
I would say they're different. I don't know about more difficult.
I would say it's weird because they have almost opposite personalities and traits.
Our sheep is very independent, whereas like our Rhodesian Ridgeback was very like tribal. She was not tribal. She was like pack.
Yeah, she's like, I'm a companion. I'm by your side.
Whereas like our Sheba will just join another group and like she doesn't see very well either. So like she won't even be able to find us. And she's totally cool with it.
She'll be like, I'll just join another pack. No big deal.
Whereas like our Rhodesian Ridgeback, Zelda, she would like search for us. Like that would be her main goal.
But she would join another pack, at least when she was a puppy, like at the park. But then like after a minute or two, she'd be like, okay, got to go find my family now.
Yeah.
Like she wouldn't just stick with another family indefinitely.
I do think it was nice that Rhodesian Ridgebacks are very food motivated. So like you can teach them tricks. You can like make them come easier. Whereas like Shiba Inus are not food motivated. And a lot of times they won't even see the food or really care that there's food there.
But she will beg for pizza. She's never had pizza, but she will beg.
And she'll beg, even though she's not food motivated.
And then half the time you give her something, like we don't just hand it to her while we're eating or whatever, but like later
you
we
put
may
it
give
in
her a little
or whatever.
Like
yeah.
something, and she'll ignore it. She'll be like, I know I was begging for that. I don't really want it.
Yeah.
Except celery.
Right. So that's like a pretty big difference, wouldn't you say?
And Somi also loves water. So you can't use a spray bottle to like spray her to teach her things either because she likes the water. So.
Yeah. So we've been just giving her lots and lots of affirmation.
Yeah. She's a praise dog.
Yeah.
For sure.
However, she also is very good at ignoring her name.
Oh, yes.
But she knows her name, so...
She basically likes to ignore anything that doesn't suit what she wants to be doing.
Yeah, she reminds me of, like, that teenager child that, like, will, like, do things to make you try to get your goat.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, I never got that from Zelda's. Like, Zelda would be, like...
She wanted to please all the time and she wanted to be close and she wanted to like
cuddle and like, you know, she would do things like that where this dog is like very cold sometimes. And like also she'll like this dog will like bite you, but she's also teething. So I don't know.
But she's not biting to like hurt you.
No.
She I think gets confused sometimes between like kisses and bites.
Yeah. Which is okay. I enjoy both.
She will wake you up with a swift paw to the face.
Right. She hasn't done that to me yet, but.
She'll like smack me in the face and then roll over onto her back like, okay, belly rubs. And it'll be like, it's 4 a.m.
Right.
You cannot just swap my face and ask for belly rubs
She's
at 4 a.m.
She's a dog that knows what she wants.
She is. So before we answer some more questions, I want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor for this episode. So obviously, we love wine on this show. It's not a secret. And you want to know what we don't love, though, is wine mouth. You know when you're enjoying a nice glass of red wine with friends and you go to the bathroom and notice your teeth are completely stained, like that purple, like nasty, it's not a good look. But recently I discovered a new product and the company that makes it is actually sponsoring us this episode. I love when I get to talk about something that actually works and I like to use. The Ultra Bright Pen is the newest product from Lumino. This product does two things at once. It works as a stain guard and it whitens your teeth. So you brush the gel on your teeth before drinking red wine, coffee, tea, or, you know, whatever your drink of choice is, and then you can enjoy your Merlot without the risk of wine mouth. Like all Lumino products, the Ultra Bright Pen is certified non-toxic, microbiome safe, and it won't cause sensitivity. Lumino is illuminating better ideas in oral care. You can get 15% off at lumino.com using our code WINE30. That is LUMINEUX.com and using our code WINE30 for 15% off.
All right. Yeah. I know I like white teeth.
And not purple teeth.
Not purple teeth. or beet teeth.
So what is your question that you had for me before we go
further? How do you feel about... like grocery stores or even companies you work for asking you to donate?
Like when you go to check out and they're like, would you like to round up and donate to whatever? Or would you like to donate a dollar to whatever? I don't like it.
I don't like it either. And a lot of times I feel like guilty when I say no. I don't feel guilty per se, but I feel like a little bit like judged.
Well, it's also hard because I remember growing up, like the grocery stores used to be like, oh, would you like to donate a dollar to the Susan G. Komen Foundation, which was like the breast cancer foundation. And my mom used to always like donate to it, like a dollar or whatever every time. And then all of that information came out about how none of the money that people were donating was actually going to cancer research. It was all going to the pockets of like the higher up people there. And like 99% was going to like the board.
I know. So that's one issue I have too, is where like, I'm like,
I like to educate myself on where the money is going.
Well, that and like, why wouldn't I just donate to
the cause of my own,
my community, donation stuff that I would like, you know, instead of like going through a grocery store to do that. Or even like, I remember when I was working at Costco, they'd be like, okay, it's donate time. And they'd be like, you can take a portion of your paycheck and donate it to any of these causes, like go through. And that kind of didn't sit right with me because I was like, so if I choose not to, am I going to be like subjugated to certain treatment or like, you know, like from management, oh, he doesn't donate. Like if that's the kind of feeling I got a little bit is like, I'm like, you already pay me. I'm not the one with like a $1.3 billion market cap. Like,
yeah.
Like what's going on here? You know, like, why are you like harassing your, not harassing, but like pressuring your employees to donate. And then they're like, well, we'll match. And I'm like, yeah, because you need the tax write off, you know?
So one thing I don't mind is how Target does that. So if you have like a Target Circle account where you like put in your phone number when you check out at Target, then each, I think it's each quarter, you're given a certain amount of votes and you get to vote where your local Target gives money.
So that's great. Yeah, that's fine.
So it's like local whatever. And then you can choose to like donate your extra points if you choose to, or like a, you can donate like, oh, you've earned 10 tickets for donations this quarter that you can put towards whatever you want to donate to. But most of the time, I think it's more local. Like each Target has their own like local charities that you get to vote each quarter. So I think that's nice. And they're not asking you when you check out, like, what do you like to donate? Like, it's just completely separate.
Right.
So I don't mind that. And it's just on like the app or website, like they're not shoving it down your throat in any way. So I don't mind it.
Yeah. It's kind of like a little annoying when a big corporation asks people to donate. And I'm like, well,
like you make so much money off of me as it is. Why don't you donate a portion of that?
Right. Like, why don't you take a little bit of your market cap and show me what your interest, what you want to donate? Like, why do you want to like take your, you know, I don't know, maybe I'm out of line, I guess. I don't know. It just seems like, you know, some people are making a lot of money in bonuses where that money could go to like donations. So, okay. What's next?
What celebrity do you think would make the best politician?
Well, obviously Matthew McConaughey.
Well, I mean, he's already like kind of doing it, right?
I don't know. I honestly don't know if he's going to make any a good.
I feel like I should have thought about this beforehand. Honestly, you know how hysterical it would be if like Steve Martin and Martin Short ran together for something like governor and lieutenant governor or something.
Right. Honestly, anybody who wants to make term limits. So like, I don't know. Are there some...
Honestly, Cynthia Nixon, who plays Miranda on Sex and the City, she had run for office in New York. I think that was in like 2018. And she lost because she was against Cuomo, who...
Which is kind of sad now that we've seen
So
Cuomo's true colors.
I think she would have been really great in office and she had a lot of really good ideas and actually knows a lot about politics. And I'm bummed that she didn't make it into office because of nepotism and
Well, that, we don't know exactly, but we know more now than we did.
So I hope at some point she runs for some office again, whether it be like a mayor candidacy or whatever, city council or governor or whatever.
So do you mean like famous actor, or can it just be anybody famous?
It says celebrity, so I would say that they would, like, anyone who has, like, over, let's say, 1 million followers.
Well, like, Cornel West has 1 million followers, probably, but he's also, like, a teacher, professor. I think he would make a good councilman.
I mean, see, that's not really, he's a celebrity author, teacher, I guess, but that's, like, a weird...
I think he's been in movies, too.
Not Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Neil deGrasse Tyson, yeah. Go Neil. Definitely.
I was just thinking of what is that show we were watching? Was that Elliot from Earth that he was on? Or no, yeah, it was
Future Worm.
Future Worm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the thing about Neil deGrasse, a lot of people I think would be really good. I think that our government is so like angsty right now that like if you put a person like that into such a hostile environment where people are playing all these head games, those people are going to end up getting hurt. Right. I mean, let's take a look at AOC, you know, it's kind of like, you know, she's getting bashed for wearing clothing that's worth so much. Right. Mm-hmm. Even though it may have been gifted to her, like we didn't consider that, but it's still kind of like, was that a ploy to like smash her? Cause like that stuff hit the news so quick, you know? So I just think of that kind of, and like how that's kind of like almost kind of like destroyed her persona a little bit, or kind of like the tax the rich dress that she wore to the Met Gala. Mm. It's like, well, those are all really rich people. So I'm kind of thinking like she might have been like the laughing stock at the Met Gala, and it's like funny kind of. Like, I can't imagine that many people coming up to her and wanting to chat take her seriously.
A lot of people are fans of her though. That were there, so maybe
right, but like,
but I feel like she should have had
rubs me the wrong way a little bit. It's kind of like,
Or wear something that says tax corporate America,
right? Yeah,
or like
that would have been a lot better.
Cara Delevingne wore the like jumpsuit that said peg the patriarchy,
yeah,
at the same event.
And it's like you're kind of going to a really high profile event that's costs hundreds of thousands of dollars to get there, so. It just kind of sits wrong with like the average American who's like, I thought she was in our corner, right? And now like she's the laughing stock of these rich people. And honestly, she's not the laughing stock, but like I know there's some old dudes on Congress that have just been there forever who are just like, this young kid is such an idiot, right? Like, let's see how we can demoralize her.
I did think of another answer for this question.
All right, go for it.
Amy Carrero, she plays the voice of She-Ra in like the She-Ra series. She was also on Young and Hungry on whatever it was, ABC Family or whatever at the time, Freeform. And she does a lot of voice acting too. But on social media, she likes to talk about elections and then like break down like different news articles and fake news and stuff and be like, this is what this means. This is why you need to vote on this. This is like, and kind of being like, oh, when they say this, this is what this means. And she'll break down like the vaccine and like the articles that come out and like explain everything very well. And I feel like she would do very well going into politics.
What do you think about like a podcaster going and becoming a...
I think it depends on the podcaster. I think lots of podcasters would probably be great in office and a lot of them would not. A lot of podcasters, I think, are almost too outspoken to...
Right.
Be in office, like say things that are not so politically correct.
Oh, you know who I think would be really great?
Don't say Jocko.
No, I wasn't going to say Jocko.
Okay.
Jocko. No, although he probably could get stuff done. But I think that Bill Maher would make a good politician.
I don't think he would want to be a politician.
I know. He'd absolutely hate it.
But he is good because he is moderate.
Yeah.
Which is refreshing.
Also,
but
yeah, he's also got like a fresh, I think a good perspective on things. Okay, so.
But next he would up. Never. Okay. There's so many. So what's one weird thing that the other does? Like, what's a weird thing that I do?
I feel like I'm walking on eggshells here. What are you going to say? I don't know.
Oh, what's a weird thing that Andrew does? I guess it's not weird, but Andrew puts silverware in the opposite direction that I do in the dishwasher.
Like, I put them face up.
So I always put them face down because then they're closer to the thing that swishes around and cleans them.
Well, I think that the water doesn't really come up through the grates.
I don't know how dishwashers work.
Okay. Well, I think the water like swishes around and like in there and like, you know, I don't know. Who knows? I know they do come up through the bottom, but I don't think they're, I think there's a little bit of water squirting through the little grates where the silverware is, but I don't think it's enough to like get grime off. Like, I think they're getting much more clean when you put them face up.
I don't know. I just find it weird.
It's like flossing before you brush your teeth, you know? That's one thing that Lindsay does that's strange. She flosses after she brushes her teeth.
I do.
And I just think that's so strange.
Do you do it the opposite?
I always floss. I've tried flossing after I met you. I've tried flossing after I brush my teeth, but I always floss before.
But see, a lot of times I will also then, after I floss, I will peroxide my teeth and then swish and then spit too. So you're getting like, you loosen it all up, then you have the peroxide and then you spit it out. So it's like getting all of that out of your
mouth. It's just weird. I don't think it's wrong. Just like putting the silverware down, face down isn't wrong.
I think I've read about the flossing thing and like half of the dentists and stuff say do it before, half say do it after. And really? It's one of those things like, where people are like, should you eat before or after you eat breakfast in the morning? It's like one of those things where
there's actually a right answer to that.
Where, but for like a long time, they're like, oh, you should always brush your teeth before you eat so you get all the gunk out before you eat. And then other ones will be like, oh, brush your teeth after because it's like before you go out, you want your teeth to be clean.
Well, I think you'd brush it after because you don't want to scrape all the enamel off. And then, like, or whatever that top layer mm-hmm. is, and then eat a bunch of food.
See, I always
have like the food eat your, you know.
No, I was always taught to brush my teeth after breakfast, like when you get ready for school. Right. It's like you eat breakfast and you brush your teeth. So obviously that's just like ingrained in my head at this point in time.
That's how I feel.
But
too.
I do know some people get up and immediately will brush their teeth in the morning.
That's cool.
And I did hear that if you're a coffee drinker, that can be beneficial.
Yeah.
Because it like coats your teeth a little bit before you drink coffee. Like it coats it with.
I have to do more research because I know that it's very controversial, you know?
Very controversial.
Anything else? She does a lot of stuff that's
weird.
Weird, but something. What was the question again? Something that you do that I find strange.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So she does do this and it's kind of like a habit that I've also started to take on. She'll lay in bed in the middle of the day.
Oh, well, I like to like read in bed.
Right. But she'll get in the covers. Like I'm all for laying in bed, but she'll like get into the bed.
Yeah, for sure.
And to me, that's like really weird. I don't know.
Andrew's like, I lay on top of the bed. And I'm like, why wouldn't you want to be comfy and be under the covers?
Because then you get like whatever you wore, like whatever you've been wearing, like the debris goes into the bed is how I look at it.
Oh, so here's another question similar to the toothbrushing question. Like, it's like, do you change your underwear at night or in the morning?
I just change it whenever. I don't wear underwear at night.
Well, you know, there's that too.
So like I start the day fresh with underwear and then I take them off at night.
Like there was a point where I would change my underwear every night and every morning, like as a kid. I don't know why.
Sometimes I will just sleep in it. I don't know. I really try not. I don't like sleeping in underwear, but I like sleeping in like cloth. Like I'd like to have just in case I have to get up in the middle of the night because somebody's knocking on the door. I don't know. Well, I don't want to get caught with my pants down, if you know what I mean.
But sometimes, like, when the trash guy hit Andrew's car.
Right.
And then they knock on the door, like, really early in the morning, and you're like...
It's like, good thing I've got pants on. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So...
Not that that's weird. I was just curious, because we were talking about, like, do you do this before or do you do this after?
Yeah.
And that's something that I always... I think why I changed them in the morning and at night is because I was conflicted. Because it's like, well, you want to go to bed in nice, clean underwear.
Yeah.
But also you want to start the day with nice, clean underwear. Right. So like, what's the right answer?
I mean, I'm all for women sleeping in underwear.
I don't know.
Or men. I just don't do it. Honestly, I'd love to be able to sleep naked, but I just can't get there because there's just so much debris from Lindsay. I'm just kidding.
No. But like, I don't like sleeping naked. I do every so often, but I mainly don't because like we share a bed with our dog and stuff.
Well, and kind of. Like we'll have her up there just for cuddles that, and then we'll send her.
That is another difference between her and Zelda. Is Zelda would always, always sleep on our bed.
Yeah.
Aside from when we did crate train her for a while, but it did not stick. Whereas Somi does not care. No, like if she goes and sleeps down on the floor in her own bed, she does not care in the slightest.
Yeah. Does not care.
But if she's on the bed, she feels very free to wake you up whenever she wants.
Yeah, she'll actually actively keep you up all night.
Because she's nocturnal. Another difference.
Another difference, nocturnal. Yeah.
Okay.
Last one.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, what?
Oh, no. Now I have to make decisions.
Decisions.
Well, people keep asking when we'll be dropping merch.
Do people want merch?
People do want merch.
Okay, well, merch is on its way then. Give us a month.
Or three.
One month.
I'll start
dropping merch in 1 month. Be on our website.
Eco-friendly
merch. If I set a goal like that, then I'll make it happen. If I don't set anything, then nobody can hold me accountable.
Okay, one last question, because that was just like a quickie. What sitcom character would you want to be friends with, and which sitcom character would you hate to have to be around, like would not be able to stand?
Sitcom character?
I have one for the one that I wouldn't be able to stand.
Give me like an example, like so, Friends?
Yeah.
Okay, so I can't stand Friends. Like I would hate to be around them.
All of them?
I wouldn't mind being around
Phoebe and Rachel, I feel like.
Phoebe's cool. Rachel's fine. Joey's fine. But I could not be around
Monica and Ross would drive me crazy.
Yeah.
But I was going to say I would hate to be around Barney from How I Met Your Mother. I loved How I Met Your Mother as a show. If I had to be around that character as a real person, it would drive me insane.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't think I would really like to be around... Do you know 30 Rock to the Sun?
You mean Third Rock from the Sun?
Third Rock, yeah. I wouldn't mind being around Alec Baldwin.
You're talking about 30 Rock, completely different.
That's what I said, 30 Rock, and then you corrected me.
Well, you said you mixed it with Third Rock from the Sun, which is another sitcom.
Like you corrected me and made me wrong.
You were already wrong.
Recorrected me and went back to the way what I said. Okay, so I feel bad for Alec Baldwin, by the way. My condolences or whatever however you say that. Well, and
to that whole cast and crew is probably.
Yeah. I mean, I know that he's throwing up, you know, just from what happened with the shooting the cinematographer.
Well, and she had a kid and a husband.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Honestly, it's not his fault.
No,
actor. So it's like.
Whoever was in charge of props and stuff really.
Yeah. And a lot of people are saying, well, why was he pointing the gun at this? Well, it's like he points the gun where they tell him to point the gun.
And you know? Honestly, the cinematographer is sitting behind the camera.
Exactly.
And the camera is where he's
And the camera wants to see whatever. That angle, yeah. Right? So they're getting that angle. It's kind of, I don't know.
It's tough.
If they're like, point it right at that. Would they prefer that the camera guy get shot? Like, I don't know.
But I'm assuming you were going to say that Alec Baldwin's character in 30 Rock.
I wouldn't mind being around his character.
Oh, you wouldn't mind it?
No. But you know who would kind of bother me? Kenneth. And also the protagonist.
Liz.
Yes. No, Liz would be fine. I wouldn't mind Liz. Who's the star of the show?
Are you talking about Tracy Morgan?
No, I like
Tracy. And oh my gosh, what is her character's name?
What's her real name?
Her name is Jane Krakowski or whatever, right? Yeah,
what's her real name?
But Jenna in the show was her name, right?
That's the...
The blonde...
No, not the blonde one. The main character. Liz, is it?
Yeah, Tina Fey.
Tina Fey. I could not stand Tina Fey. I love watching her, but I don't want to...
Be friends with Tina Fey.
I don't want to be friends with her character. Because I feel like she would treat me like an idiot.
I'm like,
she'd be like, this guy's an idiot.
What sitcom character would I want to be friends with?
Oh, What about that YouTube sensation with Felicia Day?
The Guild?
The Guild. I wouldn't mind being on that show, being friends with those people.
Didn't they just, they're coming back for another season, right?
I don't know if they are, if they just are just feeling it out, you know?
I know that they've been like actually getting together and working on some stuff. So,
they've been getting together and playing D&D.
That too.
Which it seems like half of them are not into it. So I don't know how well, like a lot of them have moved on from like the Guild and done other things. So
well, I think some of the people that were cast in the Guild had never even really played like any game like that.
Yeah.
So, okay. Sitcom. I feel like I've watched so many sitcoms, and then once I'm asked about sitcoms, I completely blank. I mean, Mary-Kate and Ashley's characters in So Little Time, probably I would want to be friends with.
Like, yeah, for sure. Like, every single character from Big Bang Theory, I would not want to be.
Oh, I like Penny. The one that's, like,
the one normal, that's, like, you know.
Not a
even
genius.
Her, though, I'd be like, eh. Honestly, I wouldn't mind hanging out with the geniuses. I don't know. That they're like a medium. It might be cool, maybe bad.
Stephanie from Full House. Middle sister, you know, middle sister syndrome. So that is all we have time for today. We will be back on Wednesday for a special Disney episode since we'll be at Disneyland. So it's all Disney themed. And then on next Friday, we will have a normal Wine 30 episode for you with all the hot topics and news.